Thank you. Amazing job. We appreciate that. That's a beautiful song. Mary, did you know? All right. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 18 through 25. I'm going to ask you to also turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We'll look at that verse in just a moment. We won't read it at the beginning, but we'll refer to that in later in the message. Just mark that place so you can flip to it real quick. Matthew chapter 1 and Isaiah 9. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. God, thank you for your word. As we come to this part of the service, Lord, pray that we'd just be receptive to your word, speak to our hearts. Thank you for this Christmas story, this Christmas message. God, I pray that you forgive me of my sins. Lord, speak through me. Give me the words to say. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The classified section of a local newspaper had an ad that said the following. Lost. One dog. Brown hair with several bald spots. Right leg broken due to being hit by a car. Rear left hip hurt. Right eye missing. Left ear bitten off in a dog fight. Answers to the name Lucky. In our culture, a name is simply a way to identify other people. It is the title given to one person to identify or designate them from another person. We each have a name, so we don't always have to go around and simply say, hey, you. In our day, names really don't have much significance, especially when compared to the way it was in Old Testament times. In the Old Testament days, a name represented a person's reputation. A name was a person's identity. That is what they were known for. The people back then were very aware of the significance of a name, and they were always concerned about choosing the right name. In the Old Testament scripture, the word name literally means a mark or a brand. So in the Old Testament days, when the name you were given, you were branded with that name. That was who you were. Tonight I want to talk about a name that we all know. It is a special name. In 2 weeks from today, we'll celebrate the one that was born and given this special name. The Bible says it is a name that is above every name. It is the name of Jesus. So tonight's lesson, what's in a name? Three things I want us to notice here in this passage. First of all, let's talk about his name reveals his personality. His name reveals his personality. Verse 22 and 23. Notice what it says. Read it with me. Notice he says, Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Matthew here is pointing out that the birth of Jesus is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Here, verse 23, Matthew is actually quoting Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And there are two things I want us to notice here about this verse here in verse 23 of Matthew 1 that is actually a quote of Isaiah 7, 14. Notice two things that it tells us here in this Old Testament prophecy. First of all, we're talking about now the name reveals his personality, but this verse here reveals a supernatural birth. It reveals a supernatural birth. Notice it says, verse 23, behold a what? A virgin shall be with child. You know, there are many miracles to consider and think about when you look at the Christmas story. You think about the heavenly host of angels that appeared and announced or proclaimed the birth of Jesus. You think about the timing of the tax that Caesar Augustus issued or ordered that right at the very time that Mary was set to deliver. This issuing of this tax required that Mary and Joseph go back to Bethlehem. So that is you see the orchestration of God's hand at work here. The miracle of the wise men seeing and following a star that led them to where Jesus was after he was born. But in addition to all that, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah prophesied that it would happen that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a baby. That is an incredible miracle. That is a miracle that is important to the doctrine of the Christian faith. That Jesus was born, yes, but it wasn't a normal birth. It was a virgin birth, a miraculous, supernatural birth. Jesus was not created, if you will, conceived and created in Mary's womb, but she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus existed in eternity past and chose to leave the majesty of heaven and come into this world in this supernatural, miraculous way. So this verse here, this prophecy of the birth of Jesus, it does tell us that it reveals to us a supernatural birth, but second of all, notice it reveals a supernatural baby. A supernatural baby. Look at verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The virgin shall be with child, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This was not just another birth, and it was not just another baby. This was God in human form. His name reveals to us that it is supernatural, that this was a miracle. And what a miracle it was. The fact that Jesus, who is God in human form, the fact that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, would leave home in heaven and come into this world. That is an unbelievable, supernatural, miraculous event. And I tell you, I really believe if we would truly grasp that principle, that teaching of the Bible, it would impact society today. I know I've said it, I've preached it, I've wrote about it, how we don't need to get caught up in the busyness of Christmas and need to remember that Christmas is really about the birth of Jesus. But we need to move past that. We need to go deeper with that. It wasn't just the birth of Jesus. This is God in human form coming into a lost and dying, dark and dying world. I think if we were really to grasp that and remember that, it would change our outlook. It would change our perspective. I believe it would bring revival to America today. God in human form, he chose, he willingly came into this world so you and I could be saved. So we see here this prophecy, this one verse reveals a supernatural birth, reveals a supernatural baby, that this was a virgin who conceived by the Holy Spirit, and this baby born named Jesus was God in human form. I heard a story about a 5-year-old little boy who came home from Sunday school all excited, told his parents he learned about God's miracles that day. He told his mom how Adam and Eve were created and how Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs. A few days later, the little boy went to his mom. He told his mom, "My side hurts. I think I'm having a wife." Listen. We can begin reading in Genesis chapter 1, and we can read all the way through the Bible to the end of the book of Revelation, and we will read about many miraculous events. We'll see many miracles in Scripture, but none, I submit to you tonight, are as important as the supernatural birth of a supernatural baby, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Where would we be if it were not for that supernatural birth of Jesus? We see here his name, number one, his name reveals his personality. Notice number two, his name reveals his purpose. His name reveals his purpose here in Matthew 1. Look at verse 21 again with me, if you would. "And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus." Notice this. You shall call his name Jesus, all right? But don't stop there. Notice what it says. "For he will save his people from their sins." Verse 25. Look at it with me. "Lord commanded him," verse 24, "and took him to his wife," verse 25, "and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." The name Jesus in the literal translation actually means Jehovah is salvation. This name given by him for Jesus, to Jesus, reveals to us a God with a desire to save sinners. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came into this world not to condemn the lost, but to save the lost. We know, of course, that the Bible teaches that we're all born into this world as sinners. Because of our sin nature, we are separated from God. The Bible even goes on to say further that because of our sin nature, we're born into this world as enemies of God, separated from God. He's a holy God, a righteous God. We're sinful, unholy, unrighteous. But Jesus came into this world to reconcile a sinful people to a holy God. Somebody say amen. We done got past the budget now. Let's go ahead and have church, all right? He came with a purpose, Randy. He came to reconcile us to a holy God. We would be forever separated from God and spend eternity in hell if it were not for the fact that Jesus chose to be born into this world so we could be reconciled. We are brought back into a right relationship with God. Not only did Jesus come to reconcile us, he came to redeem us. Because of our sin nature, we're slaves to sin. We're held captive by sin. We are bound by the chains of sin. But Jesus came to reconcile us, yes, but he also came to redeem us. He came to this world to set us free. When we place our trust in Jesus as our Savior, we are set free from the power of sin. We're set free from the penalty of sin, and in heaven one day we'll be free from the presence of sin. Jesus came into this world to reconcile us sinful people back to God and to redeem us or set us free from our sins. I believe that those two principles are summed up very well in Ephesians verse 1, chapter 7. It says this, in Him, talking about Jesus, in Him we have redemption. In Him, in Jesus, we are set free. We have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came to save us from our sin. He came to reconcile us to a holy God, to redeem us and set us free. There is no other way that mankind can be saved. There's no other way that mankind can be reconciled or redeemed, amen, except for the shed blood and the finished work of Jesus. We're going to celebrate Christmas 2 weeks from today. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. We're going to eat. We're going to fellowship. We're going to exchange gifts. But I want you to remember that it is a birthday of a baby that came to die. It is a birthday of Jesus who specifically came for the purpose to die on a cross for our sins. It is only through that death, burial, and resurrection that we can be saved. Listen, it is only through the power that is in the blood shed by Jesus that we can be brought back to a right relationship with God and saved from our sins. I read a little short story, a little devotional story from a pastor named Donald Barnhouse. He said this, quote, he says, I was driving with my children to my wife's funeral where I was to preach the sermon. As we came into one small town in front of a truck, it came to a stoplight. No, it came to a stop before a red light. The sun was shining on the truck at just the right angle, and the truck's shadow was spread across the field beside it. As a shadow covered the field, I said, look at that truck and look at its shadow. If you had to be run over, which one would you rather be run over by? Would you rather be run over by the truck or the shadow? My youngest child said this, the shadow can't hurt anybody. That's right, and death is a truck, but the shadow is all that ever touches the Christian. The truck ran over the Lord Jesus, so only the shadow has gone over your mother. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born into this world. He was born to die. The truck of death ran over Jesus, so only you and I will be touched by the shadow. Number three, we see here not only His name reveals His personality, His name also reveals His purpose. Number three, notice His name reveals His power. His name reveals His power. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9 now, if you would. Flip over there. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Notice what Isaiah says here in this verse again. Regarding, referencing a prophecy of the birth of Jesus, hundreds of years before it happened. Notice what he says, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Notice in this second half of this verse that the word name is singular. And we see here all of these different characteristics, if you will, of this one who has a name, Jesus. I want to go through these and comment on these for us. Wonderful Counselor, first of all. Jesus cares for you. He knows your needs. He's He stands by ready to help you. He's waiting on you to come to him with your needs. He can lead you through any difficult time. He's also mighty God. All things are possible with him. The wind and waves obey him. He died on the cross, yes, but death could not hold him. Jesus is mighty God, ready to fight your battles for you. Everlasting Father. Jesus is our Heavenly Father for all eternity. As Christians, we are his children, and he provides and protects for all of his children. And then lastly, it references Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Because of what Jesus has done, we can be at peace with God and have the peace of God. In our darkest days, Jesus can give you the peace that passes all understanding. You know, in our society today, it's very common for famous people to change their name. Maybe an actress or an actor has a stage name, or a famous singer or musician has a different name. I've got some names here, the birth names, the original names, and they're what we know them as. And I'll see if you can guess any of these as we go through them, if you know who these people are. Notice, first of all, the original name, Eileen Twain. Eileen Twain, now that one's easy. That's a gimme there. You should know that one. Eileen Twain, you know, the famous person, her real name. I mean, her famous person name, Shania Twain. All right. How about this one? Henry John Duschendorf. Henry John Duschendorf. That's his birth name. You know who that is? John Denver. Very good. There you go. That's very good. Bernard Schwartz. Bernard Schwartz is the birth name. You know who that is? This is kind of our Wednesday night crowd. We have some younger people here, but this is a older crowd, famous people. Bernard Schwartz, that's Tony Curtis. How about this one? Leonard Sly, S-L-Y-E. Leonard Sly. Roy Rogers. Dennis said, who? I don't know, Roy Rogers. Leonard Sly. I bet everybody will get this one. Marion Michael Morrison. John Wayne, very good. Y'all were in the spirit on that one. Karen Johnson, last but not least, Karen Johnson. Who is that? Karen Johnson, her birth name. Anybody have heard of Whoopi Goldberg? Why would you go from Karen Johnson to Whoopi Goldberg? Some people change their name, I guess, when or before they get famous. 2,000 years ago, a baby was born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and there's no need to change his name. His name says it all. Let's pray together.